they hit you at school.
Welcome, friends, to American Freedom Radio. It's a beautiful sunny day here in Melbourne today. You're with Santos Bonacci. It's Wednesday, the 5th of December, 2:01 p.m. And yes, there's a lot of wind out there today, and it's very unusual weather. I cannot explain. I know a lot of people around the world are reporting strange weather from all over the place, and rest assured, it's pretty weird here in Melbourne. I mean, Melbourne has always had a reputation for four seasons in one day, but this is beyond ridiculous. For 2 years in a row now, summer has not been the regular summer. And as it's only a few short weeks now till the 21st of December, you would imagine that the solar system would not be able to contain, or the Earth's atmosphere, contain its natural rhythm and flow, because we are certainly headed for some unusual days ahead. And glorious days, as the sun takes us through that that little portal that we've been waiting for. It's been 26,000 years in the making now, thereabouts, that all the prophecies have pointed to this day. And today, my very special guest, Sivan Bomar, is going to join me, and we are going to talk about these wonderful things and many, many other wonderful things. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Sivan. Sivan, welcome to the show.
Wholeness, and thank you for having me on the show. It's definitely great to be here this evening and to get some major answers, of course, to the happenings in the universe, and definitely right now, currently on our planet. But I definitely want to say thanks, Santos, for having me on. It's just awesome to be able to broadcast and do a show with you. And we share a lot of the same people who desire the same thing, which is just more clarity and truth within this reality. So really all we ask is to know the truth, and with that we can be really powerful, of course. And so I'm definitely excited tonight to be able to be here and get some of that information to everyone that's listening to American Freedom Radio tonight.
Yeah, too good. And thank you, because I know you're busy too. So it's great. And I have been on an interview or two with you in the past, so we kind of have that connection, which is good. But I know you speak about all the things that I want to hear about and love, and the subject of truth and consciousness and knowledge and wisdom, which we both love very, very much. And why not? I mean, we have hearts and souls and wisdom. We have intellect. We have all these beautiful things that come with living on this planet. So why should we not delight in truth? Why should we not talk about these subjects and expand on them so that we can grow in consciousness, rather than the opposite, which is to be perhaps a consensus type that will let everybody else do the thinking for you and go along with the flow, don't upset the flow, etc. Don't think for yourself. So that's good, Sivan. I really appreciate that. What are your new things that you'd like to talk about? Anything new and powerful and interesting?
For sure. You know, there's always definitely something new. I'm going to be delivering a lot of new information tonight. It's really also delivered at the right time. I think some people are even expecting Santa Claus at the end of this year to deliver some type of present. But the reality is that, you know, within our brothers and sisters and everyone who is who's studying heavily and looking into all arenas of this knowledge to find out, you know, the real meaning of life and what happens after you die. It's this year has been definitely a year that's been pushing a lot of us to get the real answers to those questions. I think for years we've played around with it. We've learned a lot of things, but we've been indecisive about other things that haven't allowed us to fully make certain decisions that equal expansion for us or equal knowledgeable declination, meaning that you actually know that and you're taking responsibility of you going in the wrong direction. And so, of course, most of the techniques that we share, of course, and I'm speaking of the Resistance, which is definitely the platform that I'm on. You can reach that at resistance2010.com or astroquest.com. But what we've done for the last 3 to 4 years now is actually go over a lot of the occult information, spiritual information, scientific information, and we've used everyone in the network in order to cipher through that information to get the answers to the real questions. And of course, there was seeming to be a deadline. There was this 2012 date that was set that everyone feels like is going to be the time for major expansion for them. Or for some, you know, they think of other things going to occur. But anyway, everyone's expecting for something major to happen. But here we are in December. We've definitely had a lot of strange things go on this year, from sightings to nuclear disasters, et cetera. But still nothing to really jar the individual that wasn't exactly in the fallout or on ground zero themselves. And so it definitely says a lot, because some in the ramifications of what's been happening, the compassion that we're giving it, of course, just in looking through the TV, we don't have so much compassion anyway. But the compassion we've been giving it is showing us also how our chakra centers and how our feelings and how our emotions are really tied in. Because, of course, some people are feeling very distraught about the situation, while some are ignoring it altogether. So it's obvious that we really need to find balance within all this. And that's really my, of course, I'm a Libra, but that's really my mission today, is for everyone to find the neutral in their actual system. And that way it can ease up a lot of the pressures and things that are happening on the planet. But I think the first thing also that needs to happen is people need to get a very clear understanding of exactly where they are. What plane, what dimension, you know, who's the ruler, if there is a ruler, what geometry is being used, you know, and are these systems foreign? Are there other systems? These kind of questions, but really sincerely approaching it. Because I know that, you know, and I've been in this for years now, and many people, when they think of the occult, or even now spirituality, since it has a new age twist to it, when they think about any of this stuff, it's kind of like they shut off the sincere or serious side, and they actually just turn on this, I'm watching TV, I'm being entertained now. Tell me about your spiritual stuff and your spiritual happenings. And so, of course, this is a big mistake, because that means that we're no longer learning from each other's spiritual experiences. And this also means that we're also not embarking heavily on the path that actually contains the most promise for the kind of species that we are, mind, body, and soul, meaning that there's many paths, such educational paths and things of this nature, that lead to destinations. But our spiritual path is the one that leads to the limitless destination. We've already been able to pretty much determine that. So my major, if you want to call it agenda, is to get the information to the people that's actually applicable. Because I also see another thing happening, which is that now that we've opened up the Pandora's box and we're studying the geometry, we're studying the physics, we're studying a lot of things that actually take lifetimes to really understand, especially the way it's being taught now. So what happens is that we start to study things so much that we forget that we actually need to apply some things. We need to study things that we can actually apply. And of course, this needs to be implemented into our reality fast, because of course the inventors that are the inventions that are in the minds of many of the individuals here on Earth, but have not been able to fabricate or to create those inventions and bring them into 3D, are definitely and desperately needed on the planet now in order to balance out its 23 degree tilt. So of course, because the planet's on this 23 degree tilt, this also equals us being partial to one side, as they call polarized. This of course is how you use one hand over the other. And I've started to think very deeply about, since we were in a trajectory, we were actually going somewhere, the planet is like a ship, it's speeding through outer space and inner space, that what happens if we do it on a wobble? Like what happens if it's not, like I think even the Greeks were using calendars at a certain point that were 360 degrees as a circle, because there was a knowledge then that the world used to be circular, it was not elliptical. But what happens is that we can find these things in what I call the micro-macro tool. This means that if it's true, you should be able to find a correspondence of it on every single realm. So that way, you don't have to really ask someone or trust someone's of knowledge or wisdom. You can actually go and check it out on multiple levels, and you should find some level of a correspondence as long as you know how to do such things. So I guess what I'll begin today is first with a disclaimer. This is really an adept conversation. We're at the end of the year, so I have no time to really put on boxing gloves or put on tissue around my hands. What happens is that even adults or people who think they're adults need that conversation that sometimes you have to babes or those that are very young in the spiritual realm. We'll just say it like that. And of course, being young is not a new thing. It always definitely means being young is not a new thing, but being young is not a bad thing is what I'm saying, that it always means that the glass is definitely half full, that there's a lot more for you to experience. But the planes themselves have in the past, many of them that have been walking, many of them that we're choosing to walk today in our cycles have been walked before. And in fact, many have been created. So there's, of course, this huge challenge for us now to see if we can actually walk now, come off the training wheels, use the knowledge and wisdom that we've been giving to create an enhanced world rather than a continuous cyclic doom or spiral or zero point, as it's left to be called at times. So wormhole, just use that term. So what happens is that now we have this this mission ahead of us, and that's why I have to brief people, because the mission accompanies the powers. What happens is many people are desiring to have these massive levels of power and fly and lucid dream and things like that. But if they understand anything about the real spiritual plane, not the fake one, not the illusion, but the real spiritual plane, you have to have some type of mission, something that the energy is to be spent on in order to gain the energy. That's how the universe functions. So it's just like a person who doesn't think much of themselves all day and doesn't really do anything. And it's hard for them to come into being a multi-billionaire that's sharp and knows everything and fly and jumping out of planes from space. So what happens is that your drive and your will, of course, are tied into a lot of how you're able to progress on the mental plane, on the spiritual plane, and in the netherworld. This is another situation that we're dealing with most of the human species, is not understanding or fairly being or able to identify the three major bodies that are in them, why they're on the third dimension, meaning the actual vehicles that they're comprised of, which of course is a physical body, mental body, and a spiritual body, which in all the ancient teachings always corresponded to the heaven or the aerial being, the earthly being or fleshly being, and then the being of the netherworld or the soul or the ancient being. So not having this kind of triangulation system to really be able to determine the heads and tails in the spiritual world or as a map in what would look like an abyss at times, it could be you could get to the point where you feel like you're lost. And in fact, most of the people that I run into daily are actually lost. They're attempting to find out what's going on and where they are. And this is a state that's really very noticeable. So most of what I'm introducing here today, people need to understand are pure facts of things they can investigate around them. The other part is things that you would need to understand once you take it upon yourself to look into the deeper esoteric studies in the world, meaning that there are people who already have obtained everything that most of the masses want to obtain, meaning the materialistic desire of fulfillment have already been achieved by many men and women throughout history. So they already got to what comes after that. I mean, what after you actually become successful and you learn the great panacea or the arcanum or the philosopher's stone or whatever, but basically finally you get it to work. Now you're living a life that you don't really have too many stresses and problems. What then? So while many are still attempting to achieve that, I want to give the story today about many of the different sides and the different individuals who, when getting to that point, what they chose to do. I mean, what they chose to do once they got control of the physical reality. So I now call this basically complex foolishness. And the reason why I call it that is more like an oxymoron. It's kind of like a joke and a little funny. But the reality is that the idea of spirituality and, you know, what's really going on in the universe, and et cetera, has gotten so complex. No one's been able to really penetrate the full level of what it's about and 100% deliver that message back to the people. So because of what real spirituality is, which has a lot to do with wholeness and connecting, if you cannot bring something back to the people and back to everyone, such as many of the individuals, especially that I know, such as yourself, that bring things that we've discovered back to this reality so it can help people, then all of it's foolishness anyway. And I think that's why they said that man's wisdom is foolishness to God. Now, we're going to get more deeper into what this word God means, but I just want to say it for the record that man's wisdom is foolishness to God, because while we're still here trying to learn it, there are individuals on the God or Yod status that are already using it. So this puts us in a different position, and we cannot forget that. While we're trying to discover what, you know, centripetal force is and what phi is really about, and it's already being used. So this would place us in the certain position as being a component, not the control point. And so this is where I want to move people today, is from a component or someone who's taking an input all the time to the actual control point. So the first thing is that in order to leave repetition, like if you keep seeing the same things happen over and over again, it's almost like, you know, it's nothing new that happens. And you watch yourself walking through these cycles of repetition. Obviously, the biggest way and easiest way to change something is to stop the repetition. So in our reality, we have the same holidays, the same times, same beliefs, and this cycle, which is seen as Ouroboros, a serpent consuming its tail, that we can choose to stay in by doing the same thing over and over again. It's like a ritual of walking in a circle. So what happens is we have to realize that we have this ability to do that. We have this ability to basically take off on our expansion. Hey, expansion, I'll see you later. And go into this deep ritualistic repetitious nature. And the reason is the benefits of repetition.
Oh, okay. So we've come up to the first break. Hang on to the thought there, Sivan. Wonderful. Lovely stuff. Folks, thanks for tuning in. We're going to our first break. And we'll catch you on the other side. Thank you. Yeah, welcome back, folks. We're on American Freedom Radio with Santos Bonacci and very special guest, Sivan Bomar. Sivan, if I'm not wrong, the thought you had, you were developing before the break, I might even muck this up, but you were talking about the mental and the soul and spirit planes that we all evolve and develop through. So if you can continue with that, that would be great.
For sure. I was also discussing the repetition and leaving the repetition. And I do want to mention a little comment over the break about, you know, this is a very large message. And so it's a ship that we're having to kind of dock in first, meaning that we really want to go in today with information that people can actually absorb. So sometimes I have this ability to go right into exactly what I've discovered right now and shoot everyone up a glass elevator into another plane and let them see what's there. But I really want to, more than anything, deliver the total message, because I have this thing, and you know how it is when you're having these conversations, you get excited and then you start skipping into things, and then you would think that people are following you, but in reality, just if one piece is missed, then, you know, people don't tend to catch it. So that's why if anyone's asking, you know, okay, when is he gonna, because a lot of our listeners are listening too, and when is he gonna get into the meat of this? It's coming.
Yeah, you have to develop base, don't you? I mean, that's what I do with my presentations. I always sort of start at the same place and then go from there on a different tangent. But I appreciate what you're doing. I mean, when you have a big perspective, first thing you want to do is get it out as quick as you can so that everybody else can enjoy it too. And that's what happens. You jump into the deep end, and before you know it, you've lost them because you've gone in too deep. So, but no, you're doing well. Just yeah, keep ever mindful that some people are first time listeners, and so but don't pull back when you want to go deep, brother. I know the listeners of American Freedom Radio, and I know that they love the deep stuff. So go for it.
Okay, great, great. Well, you know, without further ado, so okay, so obviously I have to use a lot of the etymology for us to see what's up here on the dimension. You can definitely find out what's been going on. At least the last 2,000 to 3,000 years through understanding what the language is really saying to us, even English or English. So what we're really dealing with is there is a monopoly on spirituality. I use the word monopoly because it begins with mono. And of course, mono is an anagram for the word moon. So even the word monotheism to me has something to do with the moon. And so I went on those notions because I had to really trace things back. And so I went to Sumeria. And of course, you could go and jump off a couple planes too and see what's going on in those dimensions. But I think for people to really grasp what's happening here on Earth, you just need to start with one of the first civilizations. Because we need to ask ourselves, like, what condition were the animals in before they start being domesticated? What kind of animals and creatures were living here on Earth? Because even now, if you go in the ocean, you go deep enough, you're going to see some stuff that's just going to be like, where did that come from? So here on our planet, there's stuff that everyone kind of gave up on trying to explain, like why it's here and what it is and who bought it here and et cetera. Everyone's like self-centered now and just trying to figure out how they got here. But I learned a lot from just looking around me and seeing some of the other creatures and entities and things that are here. And just like the ancient people or the indigenous also, they looked at every single species as a family and also sought to learn that family story. Like somehow we need to get to the point where we start learning other culture for multiple reasons. Because like, for instance, if you don't understand the Druidic and the Celtic culture, then, and you're speaking English, something's horribly wrong because now you're basically Norse speaking Gothic. But you think that you're from Africa or the Cayman Islands. You see what I mean? So what happens is definitely our program. And to look into it deeper, you get some astonishing things, and then you also get full confirmation from multiple angles that that's actually happening. So let's go into this because, you know, I pushed through a lot of negative fields in order to create full spectrum light, and that's just what I do. So I see no reason in holding that back, especially since this is 2012. Everyone's waiting on the superhumans to show up and all of this, but in reality, it's definitely inside of you, but you need the mission. So the monopoly or the moon. As I said again, if you've ever opened up your third eye, and some people have been known to do that on Dimitri, and that's the code word for DMT. And if you look at the moon, you'll notice that it's a full mechanation. There are chains running. It looks like chains or wheels running through it. Something in the description of Uriel's machine. So why there's all these people running around, and this is all confirmed by multiple people that have done the same session several times in different places and just did the same thing. So it's interesting to me because I see a lot of people saying, oh yeah, I have my third eye open and blah, blah, blah. But hey, did you take a look at the moon? So now you'll understand first why people were worshiping the moon before they started worshiping anything else. Because it's heavily connected to fertility. And beyond fertility, it's heavily connected to wisdom. That's why Hermes, Buddha, and every single other wisdom god, especially that taught a language, is the moon. No matter what planet it's saying it is now. Because when you look into the ancient records, when you go into Sumeria, you'll find that there was an arrival here of an extraterrestrial, what we would call extraterrestrial race. And don't get this twisted with ancient aliens. We were already here, just like the indigenous man that you see running around in that stage when these beings arrived, because it was only 5,000 years ago. And what we're dealing with here on our planet is, as you see in Sumeria, there's been a heavy colonization. There's been an erecting of multiple entities and structures. They call them businesses. And our planet has gone into full harvest, us as commodities. Why we're sitting in basically a cocoon of sleep. So when you go into the ancient, because some people, they don't see that you can't really go to the Western tradition to get spiritual knowledge. You have to go to where the Western tradition got their knowledge, and they got it from the East. But the East's knowledge and what they teach about what this planet really is and what's really going on here is what we call a trimurti. Trimurti is a triple sun. Solomon, of course, is three suns. There is this triangular pyramidal knowledge that circulates just like what you see on went to another area of mine to try to access some information, but the movie Stargate, which you see with that kind of story going on in Arabia, because all of the knowledge and the wisdom that you're looking at that, again, is in the Western culture, came from a genius or jinn known as algebra. Now, this is, of course, gives us our English word algebra, which is all about numbers. But if you look at Donald Duck and Mathematicaland, it's about a specific number, the numbers in which the pentagram spit out, meaning the whole study of what the pentagram or oob or the R sign, the sign of the Aryan, it's the sign of the second from the controllers, what it actually is capable of doing. So we now have cracked into that it's at least related to life on this planet somehow because it's related to phi and there's some type of phi-based creation. Okay. But what if that knowledge didn't just fall into people who can say that, but actually beings that know how to do something with it, meaning know how to create realities because they already cracked into that you can take phi-based combustion and create energy, and energy creates light, and light creates a smear of dimensions, and then when you inject life, then you get life on multiple levels. So the only thing that we're dealing with here on our planet with these beings is not that they created us. This is what needs to be clear about the extraterrestrial story. They are evolvers. They are evolving us by suggesting to us what we should take in, what we should eat. And this is very important because you are really what you eat.
Yeah.
What happens is that we take in through the mind, we take in through the body, we take in through the soul. But when you go into the occult work, because I got to go heavy on this, the Eucharist is the whole act of eating flesh or eating blood. So you have to look deeply about, on a spiritual level, what is said about when you consume blood and what it does to your blood and what it, how it attracts other spirits to you because they smell the blood on you, how it does this entirely different dynamic. And then when you want to dig deep and see really what happened to our planet, you'll find that those extraterrestrials also taught humanity how to consume animals that are in animals and in brothers and sisters basically that run when they're being pursued, meaning that the whole knowledge was that if anything runs before you, when you're about to eat it, then you should let it go because it wants to live if you're pro-life. But if you're in the cult of death, then you consume the blood, you eat the blood. And this is also why in the Eucharist it says you eat my blood, you drink my blood, you eat my flesh, and I become part of you. Because the secret is that you become very bestial when you eat a lot of beef. You become very aerial when you eat a lot of chicken. You become real fishy when you eat a lot of fish. What happens is ancient knowledge, you'll find that all of what the indigenous people were doing with their knowledge, especially as shamans and mainly shamanas first, were consuming the essence, or tan is the word, tanning from plants, the sun, the planets first. Later on, when we began to tan or take in the essence of other flesh, it was because it was suggested to us and showed mm-hmm. to us. And that's why we have to see also we're children in this. Don't hold any burden, especially their burden, about what you've done. And man, there's enough in the language alone that if you don't understand what is really kicking out, you're going to be really twisted around this dimension and it's really going to be out of your control. It's like going down more of the bottom of the drain rather than spiraling across the top. Now, yeah. What happened is that we need very fast to take the shipwreck humans on the sea of space into our plane by showing them how to activate their vehicle. Now, because in the occult knowledge, it talks about that the reason why the symbolism of the sea is used is because souls are like ships. And there are certain things that you can run into in the sea, just like you could run into in the physical ocean, that, boy, you better know how to swim fast. Now, here's knowledge. In order to catch a big fish, you have to use a smaller fish. This is what those who wear the fish hats know. They know, this is, of course, the Jesuits, this is, of course, the Catholicism, et cetera. They know mm-hmm. that they have to have a fish is they'll use the emblem to start pulling up the deepest souls, meaning the people who are the deepest in their consciousness of, hey, I create my own world. Now, most people have lost that, or, hey, I pay for my own responsibilities, my own mistakes. I'm strong enough to do that. I don't need any help where someone says, hey, I'd die for you. Because even in the same book, of course, what we're talking about now is we're talking about the death, where there's even said that a Lord or Jesus can die for you. To die for someone only enacts the same enactment that was going on in the Old Testament with the Levites, who were using Azazel to devour their sins by placing their hands on the goat or the sacrifice and then releasing that goat into the forest. Now you understand what the meaning of the word scapegoat really is. It's about when humans are conned into believing a law that is totally opposite to the universe, which is that someone else can take the responsibility for where you're going to go when you die and, you know, what you do here and all of that. That's the actual illusion. It's taken you from the control point because now someone else is responsible for the most important things. The most important things, of course, is what happens when you die. It's something that's promised to everyone. So while all this other stuff is like secondary, death is up there with breath. If you don't have it for a few seconds, and even if you know you don't have it, you start getting uneasy. So this is why the ancients always knew if you ever really wanted to find the Most High, go in with the things that you need first, like breath. In breath, you would probably find the Most High. Now, as far as all these idols and all these things that these people have erected in front of them and are believing in that are dead and lifeless and are only bringing death, we are seeing now what that is equaled. And that's why this is really one of those in-depth conversations, because we could turn the entire world around at this point. Because you have to remember, if they have a desire to turn the world in the wrong direction at this point in this month for some reason, that also means that there's a gate open where a channel can actually turn it in the opposite direction that they believe it's going in. See, they've stationed themselves all around and been watching around the clock like there's angels on every hour to make sure that when we go through this transition phase, that we go into another deeper matrix, another star around us, whether it's, you know, inside of the hexagram, inside of the septagon, inside of the octagon, inside of the enneagram. So what happens is you get several fields of filtration or infiltration, stopping your perception of what the grand creator is really about.
Wow, wow, beautiful. It's a shame the breaks come up, but I just got lost in that beautiful information. Thanks, Sivan. Let's take a break. We'll be back in a few short minutes, folks. You're with Santos Bonacci and Sivan Omar. Wonderful interview.
Crying like a fire in the sun.
Welcome back, friends. You're with Santos Bonacci on American Freedom Radio. And today I have a very special guest, Sivan. Now, we do have some callers, Sivan, but callers, can you just hang in there till the top of the hour? And we will be taking calls at the new hour. So if you could just hang in there. I know there's one guy here waiting for a half an hour, so if it's expensive to hang on, just may want to hang up and then call back, because I won't be taking calls till the top of the hour. So continue on there, Sivan, please.
Yeah, I'll definitely start to speed this up a little bit, but I think, you know, we're having a great conversation. I just want to say thanks again for, you know, creating the atmosphere, because I really feel relaxed. And that, of course, allows us to get through this a lot faster, because sometimes when we're on live, we're always trying not to make a mistake. So
yeah, I know.
Like, did he say that? And, you know, you really got the words confused. But, you know, so you try to translate it properly. That also makes you kind of filter it before you say something, and this kind of whole essence of it. So when you can get really comfortable, then you can kind of speed through things very easy. But so, this, you know, everyone needs to, again, understand that the cold is older than physics and science, and it controls it. As like, if you could just understand for a moment, immensity of the feats that were accomplished within the spiritual realm and our and multiplicity and all these things, to try to put science and physics would try to be like trying to put it in a jar that it would not fit in. I think what's happened, of course, is that a lot of people are studying from belief systems and works and things that have just really been passed down through the generations. You are kind of checking back on the entire other people's culture, basically, to see if certain stories are the same and to cross-reference certain things and in order to basically really get into it. I think personally also that the way that I found out most of the truth that is within me is by simply being very dedicated to it, just wanting to find that answer. And that was something that you had going on inside yourself. So that I tell people the way I found this stuff out was by fully penetrating all of the esoteric paths in order to expand into higher levels of my existence. That's, I think I should be doing that. So before one would try to fault me for what I say and what I know, I've definitely considered that. Some people just sit back and chill out and it all happen, while I just don't feel comfortable doing that. And that's what's led me to this information. So it's no different than anyone else that has the time and the resources and the potential to push through, they would figure this out. So, okay, here we go. Now, understand that for Earth is a cross. So what I'm telling you, that's astrologically, but also there's the four winds, four seasons, etc. So this cross tells you really a major thing, because it's a place where entities, or whatever you want to call them, essences that are exactly opposite, meaning going in another direction, you're going vertical, that one's going horizontal, actually meet. So this means Earth plays this Midgard potential to where anything that actually needs to be hooked up with or done or connected actually can go on here. So this gives us somewhat of a map to seeing also how belief systems begin to be created. Because what you know is that I just have to fast forward into to seeing, to letting allow one to see about creation and then how the creation story gets pushed into spirituality, and then how spirituality gets pushed into religion, and then once religion gets its hands on it, it becomes more a monopoly. So this is what happens when other when people that are on a higher level figure out higher levels of knowledge and then and use that knowledge on the citizens. So we have a title known as king. And the king of our planet or our world is supposed to be basically taking care of its children. So when you ask yourself, well, who is the king of this world? Can you actually identify who the king is? You can identify who the queen is. Like if I say, well, who is the queen? Like, is there anyone running around your world that actually controls all the money and controls religion and controls a lot of things? And by the title of queen, and you can say, yeah, it's Elizabeth. But when I ask you about the king, then it kind of gets a little hazy, because the king of the world, the king of the external or physical plane, lives in the astral plane. And this is the secret on why God's first name was Di, or Deals, which means two, to split. Because there was already a knowledge that the God was once a man, died, and then went into the astral plane. So when you look at the ancestors that are quoted, especially from, again, the Norse tradition, which spills, you get the Cain, the individual Cain, who obviously survived out of two brothers, the other one being Abel. But by the word Cain, you find out that it's actually synonymous with the name Hermes. It's synonymous with the name Cohen, which means priest.
Beautiful.
Is the Kabbalistic term Conan. Again, if you feel just files in, and you'll keep getting the connection of the individual is also known as Orion. We have to go to the constellation of Orion, because there's now what is being attempt to actually make it another Aquarian age, where man, giant, the hunter. You have to understand, the king was also a hunter. He hunted at night. He hunted the day. He hunted the beasts of the field. Remember, so you can see a king today, they're always hunting in game and fowl, because that is a tradition that they adapted from what they say is their father being Nimrod, Baal, the Lord, the first that was in physical flesh, but was known as a god on the earth. And of course, this is what is this the connection with the moon. This also gives the connection with the planet Venus, which of course is tracing out this pentagram in the sky. All satellites do that. So that means Venus is basically a satellite. So, of course, Venus is upside down, which actually makes it an inverted pentagram. The pentagram was ever used, by the way, it was upside down. And it was not complete. And you can find one in the Necronomicon, because the carrying it, they were colonizers. The pentagram is basically like an upside down A. It's just a three, it's A's, okay? The upside down A, you grab the handles, it is a plow. Now you see why they call them shepherd kings, because these kings were the first ones that taught how to plow. Mm. Of course, plowing. The A, which basically is a square and compass, they weren't always squaring and encompassing it. They were plowing. And then they were killing and a burden on man, as you see even in Genesis, that the ground would give forth a burden. Because mankind, who's used to just running around, is now being worked. So this is what is obviously a hybridization process, because we end up here in a completely different body than we were when we first started running around this planet. Meaning that the human from before, which you can still find on Earth, does not match up genetically and especially the chakra centers as the humans from before. There's been some type of upgrading. Many people know chakras, but there's more than seven chakras. Some people have thousands of chakras. These configurations are really MEs. Knowledge that wasn't even supposed to get a hold of. But now we're saying that if we didn't get up with that language, we probably would be here infinitely. Because this entire dimension is hidden within the number eight. That's why you see eight-pointed stars everywhere with royalty. It's the idea.
Wait a minute, Savant, can you say that again? Chiefly because you broke up from my end. I don't know whether you're breaking up toward the station and the listeners, but to me, every now and then there's a little bit of that, what's it called? It's breaking up a little bit. So can you just repeat that about the eight again, please?
Sure. I'm actually just checking my battery levels really quickly. Break, it'd be probably good to just reset the lines, because sometimes I know that when you're making calls overseas, it kind of gets bogged down a little bit.
But, hey, now you're perfect, by the way. You're much better.
Okay, excellent. So, yeah. Oh, geez. I guess those interruptions always kind of throw me off a little bit. Where exactly was I at?
The number eight. You said you made a wonderful, powerful statement about the number eight, and I really want to hear it again, because I'm really getting into the number eight, and I've got some biggies to share about that. But please go ahead with that.
Sure. I mean, the number eight, we can get into the number eight for a long time in October and in the octagon and a lot of things, but we just need to understand certain principles, which is about regeneration. Like when you're looking at two circles, dealing with two worlds.
Ooh, dang. Don't you hate it? Okay, so hold that thought. We're on the number eight, guys. Now, I don't know whether you're into numerology or not, but you need to be fascinated with the number eight. It's a very, very powerful number. Transformative. It's all about transformation. Okay, so Savant, hang in there. Listeners, hang in there, and we'll see you at the top of the next hour. Thank you.
But build to destroy.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back to American Freedom Radio. You're with Santos Panarchi and special guest Savan for the second hour. And Savan, look, you were on a roll there before the break, but we do have a lot of callers, and I just want to get to those, and I promised that we would at the start of the second hour. So, caller, are you there?
Hey, how you doing, Santos?
Yeah.
Hey, good to speak with you, gentlemen.
Awesome. Thank you. Good evening.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, Seva.
Oh, I was just saying good evening.
Oh, how you doing, sir? Give me 1 second, guys. I have to go outside, otherwise you cannot hear me. But I had a great question for you, Stevan.
Okay.
I've been checking out your information. I get your resistance emails. Been getting those for a while. And I just picked up Kabbalah and meditation over the last month, and I'm 33 now. And I was just wanted to ask you, what would be the next starting point after I understand the correspondence of the tree of the Cordovore tree? I can't remember how to pronounce it, but I get all the correspondences. I've memorized them. I use them in meditation, and I'm not trying to use them in a religious aspect. I want to understand what's happening in reality so that I can better function in this reality. And what would be the next step after I really understand the tree for what it is?
Okay. Definitely a great question. I really want to first say that that personally we do not endorse the Kabbalah, especially from the anything that is beyond the etymology and the oral tradition of it, meaning that Kabbalah is really the utterance of an intoning of secret words to evoke entities. So anything else as far as the Adam Kadmon, which is what you see with the Sephiroth, that's basically the man or the Zion that is stretched out over the universe as a template in order to give one supposedly jump points or ways to get through their different parts of their body that they prioritize. So, of course, one to understand Kabbalah has to understand the entire tradition. So to answer your question twofold, you know, where I think that everyone needs to start is first making sure that before they're going into any of this, that they work on cleansing the organs, because the organs really are the refractors. They correspond to all of the essences and the energies that you would be experiencing when you embark on the astral quest or EverQuest. So what happens is that if the organ's not functioning properly or actually clogged, it only brings up basically the inverted clogged side of that planet, meaning that every planet, if you see in our universe, has another side to it. It's a binary universe. So we have a night and a day here. Other planets have a night and a day. So if you're, because the planets are our chakras, there's knowledge also that because you don't see the human basically flying around here, that their chakra centers are turned off and locked in the upside down position. And to turn on these wheels, what's needed first is what I call magnetic buffering, which is that the wheel has to be repaired before it turned on. And the wheel, of course, gets damaged through things that happen in your life. Or else what happens is you raise the Kundalini and it does become a stagnant serpent in the brain, meaning that the Kundalini energies are, of course, the height of all of this stuff that they keep talking about. And they run around here saying who did what and who was acting like God here on this planet. But the Kundalini energy is something that is so much so immense and such a high level of responsibility to even be able to wield it equals you being able to be in at least three different interactions. You have to have the right environment. Kundalini has to cultivate properly. You have to have the right sexual practices, meaning that understanding that, you know, how you have to use your semen and bring your semen up and not, you know, push your semen out and that kind of thing. So right off the bat, you see that there's other integers that allow you, that come into play that determine whether or not you're going to be able to fully ascend through a path that is going to lead to you ascending and descending, meaning the energy is supposed to cycle. You're not going to go be Ariel or one of these aerial beings, or you're not going to go be Azazel, one of these lower serpent beings. You're looking to be completely, really, all itself. So you should be completely expanded. To get to this, because the knowledge of how to get to it is very specific, you have to begin to see that the battlefield is within, that all battles begin first inside and they end there. When it starts to come into your physical reality on this plane, because that's why you're made in a trifold way. You have the mind. When you send out an idea, there's a ran, they call it in Egyptian a ran, or actual, what we would call something like a spirit, that goes out somewhere. So that's one vehicle that you have. Then you have this flesh, which knows how to act. Like the flesh knows how to act out and do things. Then you have the mind, or excuse me, the soul, which is really this the spark or the sun of you that connects to, no, it's like the sun is limitless. It's like a limitless power supply. So its story is just as ancient as all the planets that it's been shining on, given life. So that's why the soul was always known to be the most mysterious part and the part that need to be discovered the most. So I guess what I'm saying to you is just to sum up the question is that you really have to take it first within and use the brute force methods to clean the organs and get them actually toning right. We do talk a lot about that on the site, and we also have information on internal cleansing kits that clean out all the organs. Then it flushes them in the right order, because that's the other thing. A lot of people go in, they clean out the liver or something, and then they flush it into another organ, and then that damages that organ. And then they're wondering, why this is not working for me? Because it's just like the seasons. All the planets have to be flushed the proper way. This is actually geoenergetics. I'd like to talk about this more than the demons and the Pope and all this stuff, but that seems to be what people like to hear more than anything else. And it does also get people awake. But what happens is that the real knowledge in geoenergetics is basically how to take the magnetic field of the body and actually begin to allow it to just balance itself out so that it spirals faster. Now, anyone who's ever accomplished something in meditation can feel their body rocking back and forward. Or maybe you've gotten really excited and you can feel this field around you like something is spinning. Well, the reason why it doesn't stay spinning and then go into this thing that's really high is it's out of balance. So just like an out of balance tire on a car, it doesn't really spin well, and it causes problem with cornering and bad gas mileage, etc. So this is the same thing that's happened to us. Because we're knocked off balance most of the time by penetrating and intruding forces, whether that's where they were studying religion and especially Kabbalah and all the rest of these external devices that have been erected in front of us to find something that is inside. So, of course, it means definitely doing some major repair on the body before trying to even penetrate through what that knowledge is about. So I will say this, there's two type of people that will make it out of this. Those who know everything and those who don't need to know everything. And I'll tell you that again, those who know everything or those who don't even need to know everything. I mean, that there's some people that are so dead on, meaning what they do and who they are. You could never tell them to do something else one way or another. So they're already set on their course. It's best to, if you can get your course set right, to be like that. But because most people don't have their course set right, they got to go to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, meaning that they go on the other side and have to try to figure out everything. Now, that's quite a task. It actually takes multiple lifetimes to do it, but you can get to it. That's one thing that I learned about this earth is that because of its cyclic nature and the tools that are being used, there are templates or GUIs or GUIs that you can put over mesh over the entire world or realm and see everything how it really is if you can accept it. That's not something also that's external, by the way. Some people say, okay, show me the gadget, show me the device, tell me the name. It's something that's internal. Once you turn on certain centers, your level for attracting exactly what you need is magnetic. You no longer go to get what you need. Remember, all you're doing is you're not reversing a pole. You're actually balancing the poles. First of all, north and south on the magnet should not be called north and south. It's entry and exit. Anytime they're talking about a pole shift, what they're talking about is putting dark on top. The pole shifts don't work for in the benefit of planetary systems, creatures that live upon it. Balance works. So this is also where we get into the perpetrators. So hopefully that gets into, that actually answers your question. I guess we could probably take another call unless the brother had another question, but it should pretty much let you know where you need to start.
Yes, that made a lot of sense. And I'm guessing that the biggest thing that you did say in that is by using the graphical tree itself is not something that you endorse.
No, because what the Kadmon is, the Kadmon's limitation is Zion, meaning that the actual template that they're using is a ten man template, meaning that it's Metatron. See, what happened is that there's a binary world that is a complete illusion, and it's an illusion because there's a zero or something that is perceived to be a zero in it. Now, you're never supposed to write zero because zero means nothing. It means everything outside of the dimension. So in the Pythagorean Brotherhood, they know what they've done. They created a symbol that is supposed to mean a circle. Nothing can mean a circle because a circle is nothing. So when they tell you a pentagram is 360 degrees, 72 times 5, that can't be true, but they can make it true. This is how people try to force geometry or force a program on you. Now remember, this pentagram is also a mark. It's the Ub sign. The mark of the beast was called that way because it's used to mark beasts. It can mess with your DNA in a sense, because if you adapt the rules of Puck, Pan, Cain, Anubis, Hermes, Sirius, Hern, the Hunter Orion, then you'll end up being here in a cyclic, what the Chinese defined as the pentagram, combustion that you never really get out of, aka an endless knot. So what happens also, though, is once you understand how to traverse the vehicle, you also have a vehicle for this plane to enter into exit and to go into other planes. So I tell you the truth, what is so glorious can become a trap if you can't get out of it. But if you can get in and out of it, oh my, that's what I need to come here also to explain to people more about, is that this is not about running away. See, some people are trying to figure out what gate they're going to come across and what portal and ship they're going to get on. They're trying to ship out. We can't leave our mother. The actual, anything that's going to happen in the future is only going to push the potential of us. Let's get that straight. The other reality is that we're immortal beings. Our contacts with spirits, though, have made us afraid. And that's the other connection with why humans are naturally scared of spirits. People need to ask themselves, why are people naturally scared to see like ghosts and spirits? Like, why is it so crazy? It's because something written in our DNA of a situation that occurred when we first came in contact with the spirit. And there's an iconic story about that, which of course takes place in the Garden of Eden with the serpent and the tree. But it's actually not the serpent that people need to be looking at. It's the tree. Because when you understand how all serpents are connected to trees, because if you understand how things are evolving here on this planet, you understand that trees and serpents and birds are all intertwined. That the essence that you find in trees can cause any kind of situation to happen. A person sick, a person strong, a person happy, person sad. All the essences and traits and genes that are needed to create all the emotions are within the trees. So this tree knowledge also became known as the knowledge of the fallen ones, because the fallen ones were known to be actually chopped down trees, trees that talked too much and said certain things and led the whole world astray. But again, that's another story. But honestly, it's the same story. I mean, that humanity keeps getting fooled over and over again by a deity with 1,000 names, at least. A warrior god that has a warrior goddess. Because one thing, every time you're going into conflict with someone that you know, or someone that you don't like, you have to call upon your god to attack them. Now think about this. This is the whole hinge point of the earth. If someone wants to go and attack someone, like a Muslim wants to go and attack an Arab, they'll call and invoke their god to help them destroy them. So this is a destroying god. It's the first Arab. That means that any entity that comes is already choosing one human being over another. And that's where you get into the code of Anubis, because these gods go into heat because they're fire gods. So what happens is that some people choose the whole esoteric field of the Illuminati and all that are just into building these entities on other dimensions through Kabbalah and then unleashing them into this reality, or just basically trying to find vessels even for them to go into, which are physical beings, people, animals, lost. And keeping this mess up, we could be on the Arabot somewhere having on Nebular 9 drinking a blue-looking drink. You know what I mean? What's happening here is that we forgot that our imagination, the image nation, was what is going to carry and guide us. The UFO had no controls when they walked in it. It was guided by the pilot's mind. So this also means that if we don't really know where to go, then we're not going anywhere. I find out we also don't go anywhere when we think we're going to leave everyone. We work in a unit. That's how we're designed. That's why you have certain people that are like the mouthpiece, other people that like the leg, but no one thinks that they're more than the other. But I tell you the truth, there's the beings that are trying to guide humanity. They are into a big duality. Again, the name is Dios, Zeus, Deuce, Dis, Pater. This is known as the old serpent because it's the serpent that walks upright. Remember, in the Bible, the serpent gets cursed down to his face, supposedly. I just had to show you how it works in genetics and things. But what's really is said is that the old serpent walked upright. Now you'll kind of understand what David Icke keeps ranting and raving about the bipedal serpent. Now, if you go into the bas reliefs of Russia, you'll find that the entity that later on became known as Solomon was actually Cassiel, the angel of Saturn that rode astride a dragon. You'll find that Cassio becomes the actual root, and I know we're probably going to go on a break here, but became the actual root to the entire system of knowledge because Solomon was known to be the wisest. Not because he knew about books and poetry. It was because he knew how to control jinn. Spirits, beings that have gotten lost on the astral plane that no longer can find a physical body. It can happen to anything. So to be able to control them and put them back into pots, which are actually vessels, which is basically human bodies, clay, Adamu, then that was the superior knowledge and that was the PlayStation of the ancient people that were here on this planet. Now, already you can see, especially with the potential of the soul, that we contain the potential to do the same thing as them or go completely expanded, go bananas in this. It looks like so many people are choosing to go in their vein, which is through Egypt, back into Samaria, back into captivity, back dealing with the horn goddess. You see Moses with the horns on his head.
Wow, mind-boggling. So, listener, I hope you had your question answered there. If you want to hang in there till after the break, you're quite welcome. Otherwise, we'll go to another caller. But hang in there with us, guys. We're with Sivan, and it's a great show. Back in a few minutes.
When you get home, that old train pulled out. John's mom began to shout, standing everybody in the neighborhood.
Welcome back to American Freedom Radio, folks. You're with Santos Bonacci, and we have special guest Sivan today, and it's a deep one, and I'm loving it. It's really deep. Now, caller, I left your line open because I just wanted to double check that you were satisfied that the question was answered, because I do have other callers, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to tell you both that I appreciate your work. You guys are doing a great job, and you are very appreciated.
Thank you. Wonderful. That was very nice. And now we have another call, another caller, number 7533. So I'm struggling to see that. 7533. Caller, are you there? Hello, caller. Number 7533. Okay, that might be a listener. We'll go to another caller. 6312. Caller, are you there? 6312.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. It's amazing to be on the same line as both my favorite esoteric researchers. Epic.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I've been listening to... I think I'm on kind of a bad line. I just wanted to say how much I appreciate all the work both of you guys do. I've been listening to you both for quite a while now, and it's just amazing how expansive, you know, I feel, you know, since starting. And, yeah.
It's great, isn't it? It's fantastic. We are remembering who we are, and it's all about putting those members back because I tell you guys, we are very, very powerful. Thank you, caller. Thanks very much. Appreciate that. It's very encouraging to hear people with so much appreciation. I will go back to the other caller just in case I got it wrong and it's not a listener. Hello, caller 7533. Are you there? That's about sealed that. It's a listener. So I just interrupted their call. All right, Sivan, if you want to continue, I think we left off at the number 8. I love the number 8. Man, oh man, how much can that number do? It can do everything.
Okay, yeah, let's definitely get into that because we got into a little bit of that on the break, but I think this will also roll into it. Like, who's protecting the truth? Who's protecting the high knowledge that is available here that would expand us if we could get a hold of it? And I'll tell you today, or tonight, for depending on what time zone you're on, that it's a guard dog. Sometimes I call it the god dog. That the whole station of the gods was to prevent mankind from getting the information of how to expand. And that's why God backwards is dog. And instead of getting into the Kabbalistic understanding of what the word God means, I just need to let people understand that Orion has a dog with him. It's a hunting dog. Now, it's not just a dog. It's actually a wolf, because a dog is only a domesticated wolf. The symbol for this wolf, also called Ceres, is big, known as Big Five, is also a pentagram. And that's why Ceres Radio, with, of course, Howard Stern, you see that the pentagram is in the eye of the dog. So it's because there is a serious connection, notice how the word serious, that was established in Egypt, as you see the pyramids pointing towards Orion and also spiraling with Sirius, and that there's definitely a communication going on between the pyramidal systems that are in our planets. Of course, in Angkor Wat, we find the same layout that corresponds to Orion. And it's because we need to stop ignoring this stuff, like these people just were building this thing because they had time, and start seeing who was really here getting, however they did it, a bunch of energy going to build these monumental structures, and what do they really do? So to make this, again, really simple, that people have to understand that the race of entities that are very advanced, that are still in this timeline, I can only use that word, are not visible by the naked eye. Now, as we spoke on before with the gentleman on the conversation, the war are what caused man to try to evoke another god or energy against another man. And that became also what spiritual people were forced to do by the king, meaning that the king was looking into spirituality to see if he can find some type of super weapon, the same thing that they're doing now. So what they found was these immensely powerful but immensely malignant versions of us on the timeline, meaning that when we were in the primordial slop, still grunting and groaning, that stage is now being sought after and being bought into this reality. This is how I smooth it over so that we don't go into full duality with the array of beings that are also known as fallen angels. So what happens is that from the hinges, if you read the ancient books, it says from the hinges and through the gates, meaning from the stone hinges and the different hinges that they have around, these energies are evoked into the planet. Now, that's why before you find that, okay, now this is also why you find that there is somewhat peace in functioning environments, by the way, is because this war, quote unquote, we fought before, meaning we fought in the war in our consciousness of being able to make the right decisions and stop hating, for better lack of words. So I want to look at that word hate, which has a lot to do with heat, because you see hate and heat are an anagram, okay? So heat or health was what the pentagram was called by Pythagoras, the symbol of health. Health was the Helen, named also after Hern. And then, of course, when you go into the Arabic, into the Hebrew, excuse me, the Kabbalah, you get he. Now, the trick on the word he, of course, is in Hebrew, he is a female. It's the pentagram. But in English, he is a male. So if we just so happen to misinterpret their scriptures and read he as a man and then put it in our book like a man was the one that was running around the Old Testament, then we'll actually miss the entire story, which only Pierre Sabak is really telling, which is it's a matriarch here on this dimension, because the eight also connects with the female. But it's like a black widow. That's why there's an hourglass on the back of a black widow, which is also known as Dan Winter will tell you about, the Orion battle cry. The actual inverted cones that create a wormhole for you to be able to get from this planet to Orion. Now, you also have, of course, many factions that are perpetuating this, especially if their countries were named after war gods. Unfortunately, we find that when the place you call Mexico now had the name changed to Mexico, Mexico is the war god. Hadad, which being worshipped in Islam, still being worshipped in Islam with the hawk which is a hunting bird on his shoulder, are war gods. So the reason why this happened, of course, is because man, when getting corrupted and beginning to fight against his own brother and woman doing this, they started looking for other forces that they can summon to go and attack, just like we try to find weapons and develop technology to go and attack today. Spirituality was the technology of the past, and it got very advanced. So what happens also is that when you're headlong into this, and this is also what you'll see people experience when their brother or their sister get killed or something like this, you experience such a high level of heat and hatred that you can't even speak to the person about forgiveness. So what happens with the universe, though, is why you make all your moves, the universe just dishes you out what you want. It doesn't have time to go in the microcosm and try to figure out what the exact problem is. If you're in a negative vibratory field that's infertile, everything that you'll try to produce will come out distorted and non-fertile. Inorganic fields are highly electric and run at right angles. Also, the evocations of all these entities that are supposed to be controlling things in the Tetractus are only angles of either sevens or L's. Notice how the number seven and the number L is just the different directions on the cross. Then when you understand the magical papyri, you'll see that they're evoking angels from different parts of the cross. But there's one particular angel that seems to cause the most problems, also known as R or Ariel, also known in the Gothic as Arwen. Now, these are, again, some of the most dangerous war gods. Now, you see America locked with Israel. Now, we're bonded to Israel. We have to do whatever Israel does now. Locked in this bond with a certain entity, as we know as Isis, Ra, and El. But these traditions, of course, originally came from Egypt, which, of course, originally came from Samaria. The reason why it expanded in Egypt more than anything, because it was the first time it was ever translated and written and bought into an entire system. This occurred, though, in Egypt because the actual pyramids were known to be the prisons or prisms of the angel Azazel and his wife Lilith, meaning that in every culture, the warrior god and the warrior goddess was known to be trapped inside of these pyramids from being dealt with the first time they were running around Earth. Then when you look into the Chthonic teachings, you'll understand that these beings, also symbolized as the lion, which is the Sphinx, were known to be dead but dreaming, meaning that they can affect your consciousness through a subconscious field because they're on an astral plane, but they were asleep, almost similar to where a volcano could be, like resting in sleep, a Vulcan, but then awaken one or two of them. That's why they show two serpents on Asclepius. One or two were awakened, which became known as Leviathan and Behemoth, the actual vehicles that the king, Cain, Con, Cohen, etc., is using to ride around as his cherub. Because if you ever want to know anything about the gods, you need to see what they're riding in. They're no different than what we are today or how you can determine what a person's about by their car. They did the same things. The chariots, if you're riding an Anzu bird, if you're riding a Uriel machine, all of that determines kind of your status as the god. So, of course, every god would attempt to try to absorb all the names of the other gods because, of course, the war that is going on that seems to be perpetuated by man is known to be taking place also on the astral plane first. So while people think that they're actually going to leave here and go to a better place, if it wasn't okay when you left, it's not going to be okay where you're going. See, the whole thing is about frequency. You have to know where you're going and know a reference point for the frequency, which, like you see, the movie Jumper, he can go any place as long as he saw it one time. So what happens is that we have to know the frequencies, the biorhythms, the wavelengths by getting in contact with what we're supposed to be going and what we're doing, not by dealing with some veiled god that doesn't want to let you see its face. This is also the secret to why, I'm going fast here, but the secret to why no one was ever allowed to see the god. Now, if God is supposed to be your father, why can't you see your father? Then God says, you can see my backside. Because it's because anyone who ever looked this god in the face was terrified and would start telling. Just like you see the movie John Carter, it's JC again. These John Carter, John Connor, and all of these different JCs you see in the movie are Jesus Christ resonators. But you see that in towards the end of the movie, this deity that everyone's worshiping in the pyramid systems never want to be seen and is never talked to directly by anyone. One has to take the message that someone has to them and whisper it into their ear. Then he whispers back and then he talks. See, they're telling you that Of course, there's a connection here, and I'm hoping I can get to this. The connection is also with the planet Venus, because you see the heart and the pentagram related to Venus, but you also see the heart related to the voodoo Viv. Because the knowledge is that the Nephilim, or the fallen ones, came through the womb of Venus, or Aphrodite, and landed into the sea, meaning that when their ship docked, it was Venus, and then they landed into our waters, but our waters were fresh then. Then after that, we could no longer drink our waters, meaning that they became salty. That's why the covenant was with salt. Now, salt also exhibits the tetrahedron. So when you start understanding time, then you get into the tetrahedron, then you understand why Saturn is called the Lord of Time. Now, of course, this gets us into why Saturn is Santa Claus now, and why the Lord of Time is actually causing us a problem, because there's no such thing as time in a nonlinear being's mind. So what happens is that you see Cronus means time, because each chakra, or each one that was in league with Cronus, the gold man, Roe man, Ore man, this is another name again for Orion. Orion, the gold ion. Gold never changes its frequency. Monatomic gold causes an actual interfacing with tetrahedral gold beings. And then you see others engaging in it, and then they're laughing at everyone. Here's another thing. There are individuals all around you, especially in the esoteric world. It's good I'm not on the phone with one tonight, that know about a level of this, at least from the last occult book that they picked up. That is the ones that most people can't get a hold of. There are occult books that cost $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, upwards of $40,000. They pass around these inner circles. It talks about this type of things very directly. Of course, I've been able to obtain that information, and we actually source that information on our site. But also, you can see with all of this, we are so much greater. Their forces are weak. This is the weak man's way, the meek man in one's way, who doesn't work for when they want beauty, when they want power, when they want riches. They want to go to something to get it. They don't want to earn it, or else it doesn't become that. They don't ask for that. So again, the shepherd eats off the flock coming in. Okay, I'm sure, I don't know if anyone...
Sorry, guys, I was muted. I thought I was speaking. Hold the thought, Sivan, hold the thought. We're going deep, and we're coming back for the last segment after the break. Oh, let the sun beat down upon my face and stars to fill my dreams. The perfect words to see us out for the last segment, Sivan. I've totally enjoyed listening to you, and you've only just started, really. I can sense that, but that's how it goes. I know the listeners are going to want to rewind the audio of this show because you need to go over it a couple of times to fathom the depth of what's being shared. But, Sivan, I'll just leave it to you, and just go straight. I won't take any callers till the end of the segment, and take all the time you need.
Okay, sweet, sweet. I think, to take this thing out in the good old Mary spirit, I think it'd be good to go over Santa Claus really briefly, just to let everyone understand. Again, these repetitious rituals that build up all this energy that end up getting us into trouble really has to stop. So it's also about this, like, people need to understand that the reason why individuals such as myself have to move in on the situation is because if we just left it up to everyone just continuing to do it, and these more advanced beings with their advanced foolishness keep damaging the planet, then we won't have anywhere to go anyway but the astral plane. Now, the thing about the astral plane is that if it's like the ocean. You really need to either be in a school or something of that nature in order to really survive there. It's like it's more vast. And this is just basically vast consciousness. People have a hard time expanding around just this little bit of information. And you're talking about you want to go to inner space. So what happens is that we need to buy humanity more time, meaning that we actually need to figure out another current or currency in order to be able to carry humanity long enough so that everyone has the opportunity to fully experience this, so it's not a premature birth of them into the astral plane. Meaning if we keep playing around with the RI and we keep going to war with just each other in ourselves and eating things that we know that are destroying certain parts of our body, if we keep doing that, then it's going to equal time up, and we're going to have to get loop-de-loop, which of course is the eight-pointed star, They understand how to get you in and out of this dimension and into another dimension. You go across magnetic fields, so you lose your memory because a lot of your memory is on the magnetic strip, your disc, as it showed to you in Tron, your aura. But what happens also is that if you don't have any truth, which truth is the only thing that stands, then you go into another dimension like a child, like you came into this one, not knowing, not even being able to take care of yourself, spiraling out of control. So now what happens is that we're talking about conscious immortality. Everyone is immortal, but we're talking about being able to go through immortal experiences and know what you're doing. This knowledge is available here. It's one of the highest things that ever can be attained in the universe. Do not let them forfeit it for you. So let's go forward. Now, as I said before, this God is the number four, which is a door, also known as tetra. Now, the tetragrammic fields, which are fields that are inorganic, created through the tetrahedral fields. This is what Merkabah mysticism is really about. So when you're dealing with these kind of mathematics, you have one symbol that corresponds really to the spirit. The tetrahedron is all about the spiritual world. I won't get into it explaining. I just want to point out a couple of things. The pentagram is all about the flesh. And again, the pentagram is served upside down. It was always shown upside down before it was ever right side up, because you cannot use it right side up. You have to use it upside down with the plows in the ground. So it had everything to do about toiling and tilling and working in a combustion planned net. So to expand beyond that, you need to understand really what's at stake here, meaning either multiple lifetimes, possibly aeons before the next awakening comes to you, where you realize what's wrong with you and what you need to do. Meaning right now, many people can sense what they need to do as far as some of the negative things that they're engaging in. Now, notice how everything, especially with the stars and actors, is about burn now, hate now, drag me down now. See, it's because they're possessed. The knowledge that Disney bought through the Mystic Order of the Shrines into the United States of the genie Al-Jabbar and all the rest of what comes out of the Necromicon, that's why all the Welfen Schenkri, which is the programming of children's minds, from the Germans, which was the ones to first delve in the Ark and the information that was there, which they recovered from where? Tibet, just like you see on the movie of Indiana Jones. Where did they go first to find the Ark? They go to Tibet, not to Egypt. Because this is Lamb or Lama who's coming as AWAS now. This is a new age spin where new age runs into old paganism, and AWAS even still has imprintations of horns on his head. Because the Anunnaki, also AKA Anubis, dog gods, guard dogs, those who keep humans from learning expansive information, are running around the dimension in heat, excuse my term, horny, which of course is a horn, and desecrating the sacred feminine all the time in order for them to become also partakers in it, which creates this continuous loop, which is of course the eight. The eight is the womb too. It creates a continuous loop of where if the mother doesn't raise a child right, because she's the one that primarily the child's going to suckle from, milk, MLK, it's going to suckle from the mother, not the king or man. You see what I mean? And of course, when you get beyond all this duality, you find the sun is not in the sky, is not a man. It's a dynamo. It contains at least two fields in order to generate energy. So it's at least a man and a woman. But in everything is told to us wrong, especially when a religion is where you see the sun, if we choose this word, sun, die on the cross, meaning that now you lose your kundalini in the world. I mean, I have to, of course, break that down a little bit more. But again, dying, a man dying on the cross is the symbol of basically one getting trapped in the spokes of this world. It's not a dead, it's not a live God that's being worshipped. It's a dead God because it's lunar. Now, lunar holidays begin at night, or they take place at night, because they worship the night. This is the Norse God coming from the north, as Santa Claus lives on the North Pole. He has elves or elven stars, seven-pointed stars of races of angels that left here and are on the spiritual plane in a hierarchy working for none other than El, along with the rest of the Elohim, being evoked from the angels of the moon. So you also have this amazing dynamic where the people who keep worshiping, senselessly worship, taking our planet into other constellations and commandeering other DNA, other life forms, and other things that, of course, are seen first on the spiritual plane, and making it a part of this prison rather than making it a part of its expansion. Mankind, woman, were used as apex beings in order to teach other entities that were in between those timelines how to expand. What we've become is, in a knowledge known as eating, it's actually a Chinese knowledge of consuming pretty much everything to gain its essence. Now, notice how there's been some ropes thrown to us. We have barley, we have grain, we have wheat, we have a lot of other things in our diets that in our world that we could choose in a diet. We got fruits, vegetables, all these great things, but we want to choose something else that's going to run away from us. That's why I say every decision that we make allows this to happen to us. But these things don't eat flesh because they're not flesh. They eat spiritual essences and energies. And that's why the world seems to need to have this negative energy about something happening wrong that they need to feed on too, because what's feeding on them or piggybacking them needs that energy to continue. So how you vibrate and shake this thing off, study the geoenergetics, get your organs fired up, get the filters clean and let them run. Understand whole body breathing, meaning pushing breath into your diaphragm, into the lower areas, so that you can feel the type of connection that happens when the air is in that area. How to open up the coccyx, the place where on this physical body the tail actually used to be before it was domesticated out. You look at Avatar, and they're showing you most of what was going on there. They talk about the lion people, meaning if you understand the riddle of the Sphinx, is to understand the riddles of Fa or Fi, and also in the geometric or tonic scales. This is actually the fertility port or the womb, because again, the lion, which you see all on the symbol of England, the upright lion was one of the first cedars or Saturn to come here to the planet. Later on, got entwined by the serpent, which is a symbol of Yod Baal, and became the lord and ruler here, wearing a sign that was given to him by his father, accordingly, that allows him to be king over the land. Now, that sign is DNA. When you understand how the mark of the beast is in the DNA, then you'll see that what the mark of the beast means is that the mark of someone else in the holiest of holies, meaning someone else tampering with the DNA. This is the mark of the beast. Now, also, when you're dealing with why this god is often associated with health, by the way, is in the Asclepius and the caudaceous staff, and why the devil has been known to cure diseases, is because they cause diseases. You have to understand that first the knowledge was connected with the trees to use that actually healed different ailments and problems. But all the ancient people knew the problems came from the poisonous serpents. They knew that on the other plane, they were very dank beings that if for some reason they got a wedge into your aura and were able to get inside of you, then they would lower your vibration like Candida does. So then they had these mantras and chants that they would use in order to bring the person's vibrational frequency up higher so that it would eject it. And then you would see it ejected just like you see on Stargate where it spits out a worm. Now, here's the key. I have to tell everyone this before we get off the line. This is, it's very brash, but you have to understand you're living in the wild, wild west. What is the purpose of a prison? What does the prison system do? See, the prison system, if you notice, everyone has a badge of a star. Call this a sheriff or a sheriff. Now, the sheriff's job is to be able to do demons. Spirits have gotten into other people and make them do things like steal, kill, or whatever. Crosses, which are just for the people that generally exist with no chakras on in a base sleep state, is like a cross walking around a dimension. That's it.
Yeah, we've come to the end, unfortunately. Hey, Sivan, thank you very much for your wisdom. We're going to have to do this again. We will. Absolutely. Thanks, listeners. Stay tuned for another great show next week. Thank you.
Follow me.